today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and so glad that you've joined us for another broadcast dedicated to the sanctity of human life. Over the past couple of days, you've heard powerful testimonies from five women who are part of the organization called Save the One. They've been sharing how the horrors of rape have personally impacted each of their lives. Today, a discussion will center on the political and social stigmas that children of rape have to bear, and also some encouragement for women and children who have been victimized by rape. Dr. Dobson's son, Ryan Dobson, host of Rebel Parenting, also joined for this broadcast to discuss this very grim issue. As a reminder, the subject of today's edition of Family Talk may not be suitable for our younger listeners, so parental discretion is strongly advised. Okay, here now is the conclusion of our three-part conversation on the theme of conceived in rape, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been not a fascinating discussion. It's been a wrenching discussion to hear the pain involved by each one of the women who are here, but to see how they've dealt with it and what the Lord has done with them. Darlene, going back to yesterday, there'll be people listening to us who didn't hear that broadcast. You were not only conceived in rape, but you were raped and conceived.
That's true. I was a traffic victim, and the only way I got away from my traffickers was to fake an abortion because it was a coerced situation. He said if I didn't have an abortion, then I would be killed.
There are very few people I've met who had a greater reason to hate than you do. But we know hate is not of God. Do you hold hate? Do you harbor it in your heart?
I do not. I do not.
You
I forgive
really do
I
not hate the men
not.
Who did this
no.
to you.
See, the people are only listening to us. It's obvious looking at you that you don't.
There are people who know me now who absolutely cannot fathom my story being true because they know who I am now, that I'm stable, that I have this wonderful ministry that I do and my children. They know my children. They look at me in awe and their mouths drop open because the things that I've been through, you'd think that I'd be haggard and weathered and I'd look like a junkie or whatever, you know. And God has so restored me to the place where I am now that I'm a whole new person. Mm-hmm. And it's all to His glory. Again, He can make all things work for good to those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose.
Mary, your response to the same question.
Hate is not from God. And so I absolutely do not hate anyone that was involved. I think that we need to have compassion for everyone, all sinners. So that means even the rapists. Now, I think there needs to be judgment, and there needs to be earthly punishment for these
sure.
earthly actions.
Yeah.
And in my mother's case, the man was never brought to justice. But that doesn't mean I'm going to hate him. I'm just going to love my life and be very thankful.
Mm-hmm. And you have a smile on your face.
Always.
Javon?
Yes. Same question?
Yes.
No, I do not harbor any hate. I don't harbor any hate toward God like I used to, resentment. I don't harbor any resentment towards my parents whatsoever. I don't harbor any resentment to my biological father either. In fact, you know, one of the things I want to make sure that I bring up is that I wound up being my mom's only child. And I find that absolutely amazing now that the Lord would allow me to be the only one to be called her child. And He redeemed our lives so much that God blessed me with a wonderful husband. We have two beautiful children. And my husband is the youngest of four children. And we are the only ones who have the grandchildren. So you can imagine how spoiled they are. But my daughter is 2.5 years old, first granddaughter, and my son is the first grandson. But more importantly, through my maternal line, he is the first boy born in five generations, and that's almost 100 years. And so the implication of that, of abortion, is that you're not just affecting the life of that unborn child, you're affecting the generations to come. Because how many women have bought into the lie that, you know, they're too young to have a child or they're too far in their career to, you know, give that up, and they buy into the lie lie of having an abortion, thinking that they'll have a child later on, and then they cannot conceive because they've had that abortion. And there are women who experience that. And so just imagine if my mom had bought into that and said, you know, well, I'll just get rid of this child, but I'm getting married, so I'll just go ahead and have more. But she never did. And so now here we are enjoying our relationship healed and restored, you know, walking together. And even as I share the story, my mom hears it. You know, someone mentioned, you know, before about dishonoring our mothers. My mom has sat and listened to me. And as a result, she has come to me and said, you know, this has been healing for me. This is mm-hmm. actually has shown me that what I went through was not in vain, because you are one of the best blessings that I could have ever had. And now she has these two wonderful grandchildren, and I'm just honored that my life could be used to bless her and to show her, you know, that I am thankful. I didn't always have that attitude, but now, you know, we do, and we can walk together.
When you think of the implications for future generations, and we hear the statistic, you know, 56 million babies yeah. have been aborted. How many more will not have an opportunity to live who would have come from those?
That's right.
There's an organization called LifeSite News, and I saw a statistic that they published that says worldwide there have been 1.7 billion babies aborted. And you must multiply that in all these years by many times. It could be 3 billion or more that would not have an opportunity to live because of that. This is no casual thing, obviously.
Not at all. And we have to, you know, remind ourselves, too, of what the scripture, you know, tells us. It says that children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. It is His. And when we allow the child to live and see those legacies, we see the reward of it. You know, it's been said already, just because those circumstances were trying and challenging in the end does not mean that it cannot be redeemed. And
Trayvon,
so,
you love the Lord, don't you?
Well, all my heart.
It shows in your eyes.
With all my heart.
What are you going to say to Him when you see Him?
Don't make me cry. I will worship. I'm going to worship at His feet. I try to do it every day because I wake up grateful to be alive. Do you know? I never knew. I used to wonder if there would be a day that I could honestly say, I am glad to be alive. And that day has come. So when I go to speak and people see the joy in my eyes, it's because Christ lives in me. He has redeemed me from the hand of the enemy, and I can tell the story.
Robin, you've got tears in your eyes. Tell me what you're thinking.
I love seeing the joy of the Lord in her. And I think of how God has just redeemed all of us. And, you know, you've been talking about forgiveness, and, you know, I've forgiven my ex. I forgave him long ago. You know, and there are people out there that, you know, they would think, you know, who would want this baby? Who would want to be tied to these memories? Because, oh, I have memories, you know. They only know a tip of the iceberg of the story, as you know, what I went through. When I look at my son, it all falls away. My love for him, his life, and how he touches people. And, you know, people who are pro-life that would have the exception. When they meet my son, when they meet us, they can't imagine me without him, and they can't imagine a world without him. The way he touches people, he's just had this special ability.
He's 3 years old?
He's three and a half now, but he's had this blessing over him since very young. And He reaches out to people. He's inclusive. He has this gift of seeing hurting people who probably need to be reached out to more than some adults I've seen, just the way he notices that. But one of the messages that I say is, you know, whether or not I would have wanted him, that doesn't define his worth or value. Because Adriel is Adriel. And my opinion and my wants is not going to change his very essence, his character, and who he is and how he reaches people. And then the other side of forgiveness, which is a recent article I wrote that got a lot of shares, and that's how Rebecca found me, actually, was through my article. You know, there are a lot of hurting people out there, and I tell women who are post-abortive, you know, I like to say that I apologize on behalf of all the people who have made them feel pain, who have pointed in their face and said how horrible they were, because I want to be here to tell them today that that wasn't right. On behalf of Christians, on behalf of people who are pro-life, I am sorry that they yelled at you. And a lot of you have grown up and you weren't told that you were loved. You weren't told that you were of value. And so how could you feel like you could love a baby, especially out of hurtful circumstances, not knowing your own worth? And so that's a big message that I have felt in my heart. And so I want to say, please forgive us and forgive those who have not shown that love and compassion despite your mistakes, who did not see your hurt and pain past your anger. And I want to tell you that you are loved, that we love you, that God loves you, and I am sorry for the hate that you have felt for your mistakes. We're all human. None of us deserve grace more than any of you.
You all know that before we started the first program, I prayed and asked the Lord's presence to be in this room. He's here, you know that. Rebecca, you have tears in your eyes.
What? I've had so many women come up to me after I spoke and shared their stories of abortion, either after rape or not after rape, where it was an abortion out of convenience, and they have, through their tears, asked me, "Do you forgive me?" And I tell them that, you know, it's not my place to forgive, but to the extent you need to hear it, yes, yes, I do forgive you. And then I share about God's grace and what it means to say that his grace is sufficient, to be able to say that what you have to say about it is more important than what I have to say, because they're having difficulty forgiving themselves. But what they also want to know is they want to know, will my child forgive me? You know, they really want to know that. And I know why they're asking me, because they see me as a surrogate. And they think that if I, someone who was targeted for abortion, could forgive them, then maybe, just maybe, their baby could forgive them.
A lot of people come up to me in my volunteer work as a servant with New Hampshire Right to Life. And they come up to me, too, and pretty much say the same thing. Well, I had an abortion. And I just love on them. I just hug them and say that your past does not define your future, that God's grace is sufficient, and he has a way of healing through those circumstances that is indescribable. And when we reach out in love, he just comes in and uses us like a conduit, and his love engulfs people. And there's an amazing healing that takes place.
All right, we have very little time left. First of all, I would like you all to speak to the woman out there who was raped and has had a baby and never has told anybody. What do you say to those women? They're out there. They're listening to us right now.
You're not alone. There's a support group, a confidential email support group for you. We also have an activism group, but you are not alone, and we can connect you directly to others who can mentor you. The number one question that gets asked within the support group is actually whether to tell their child, when to tell, and how to tell. And universally, we have all said that just tell us the truth. But it's got to be as is age appropriate. And so at a young age, you can start to say, explain to your child that you didn't know him very well, or that he wasn't a safe person, or even that, you know, he hurt mommy. And and I'll tell you more when you get older. And so, I've had to tell my children what happened to grandma. And they know, and as is age appropriate, I reveal more and more. But, you know, at a young age, we can teach children about, you know, we have to teach them about what their privates are, anything that's covered by a swimsuit, you know, nobody touches it. And so they understand that about, you know, somebody hurting your privates and stranger danger and things like that. And we teach them about purity. So they can understand a lot. But beyond that, beyond just the basics of the story, you need to create a foundation for dealing with the truth. And that is for them to know that they know that God takes what man meant for evil and uses for good. Share Bible stories. And then anything that happens in their life, use that theme over and over again. Let's see, in school or whatever's happened with your friends in the neighborhood, something that happened in the news. Yep, that's what God does. You know, God redeems situation. He trades beauty for ashes. Yep, and you keep developing that theme so that they know that. Mm-hmm. And then there's lots of stories available where I talk to women regularly. I spoke to two women this week on the phone who are dealing with this situation, how to tell their daughters. And they are so happy to know that there are videos and stories that they can point to other people to be able to share with their children.
Can they reach you by phone?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But our website is savethewant.com, and that's the number one. And my personal website that has dozens of stories is RebeccaKiesling.com. You don't have to remember my name or how to spell it. If you Google pro-life speaker or conceived in rape or pregnant by rape, it's number one. So it's really, really easy to find.
Or Save the One.
Save the One. That is our website. There's several bios of speakers, a lot of great resources available.
I also think that many people who are pro-life don't know what to do. They hear our stories and they understand that the culture has said that they should be pro-life except in the case of rape, and they don't know how to speak out. And I often ask people, if we would have lived during World War II, would we have spoken out about what happened to the Jews? And everybody will say, well, yes, I would have spoken out. But yet they don't speak out for us. And that's a huge part of my testimony, because my adopted mother lived through World War II, and she actually had family members that would sneak things into the factories where there was Jewish labor. And I often ask people, when the soldiers went into those concentration camps, they might have been surprised to realize, wow, these aren't all Jewish people. There's some gypsies in here. Maybe it was just 1% of the population. Maybe the stigma was that these gypsies are bad people. They are thieves.
Yeah,
they're dirty.
There were Poles in there. There were homosexuals
in
there.
But you know what? We didn't fight that battle to only rescue the Jews and to leave them locked up for the rest of their lives. We saved all of them. So if we're going to fight the battle of this pro-life movement, we need to save all of them.
All of them. Even the one.
Even the 1%, which are conceived in rape.
That's right. And I would just say, in my case, where I express when my mom shared with me how I responded and in my anger, the truth of the matter that may come up with a child, but know that the Bible says that the truth will set you free, and that sometimes is a process. And as a parent, you love your child, and I'm thankful that my mom stayed consistent in showing me her love, so that when I got to that point and my heart was really changed, that she was still there and I could come back and ask her for forgiveness. I could ask my dad for forgiveness. I don't talk about him as much because he's private, and he's just like, I'm your dad, and that's all it is to it. I love you. But he is an amazing man, because he took care of me. He gave me his name, and he never wanted me to feel any shame about my circumstances. And I think the best thing you can do is you can always reiterate to your child how much you want them and how much you love them. And even if you're the adopted parent, just know that you can let them know that God chose me to love you because he knew that you would need me, and I need you just as much as you need me. And when we encourage each other in the sense of family, it's a lot of healing that can take place.
Ryan, have we ever had a group in this studio in these years that is more articulate than each of these five women?
Totally unbelievable.
I mean, guys make the case, and I just would like to help you. We're going to help publicize you. And
thank you.
We'll have links to all the organizations.
We have a Favorite page, of course.
Videos.
For
Save
the One. Our own website and Facebook links.
Well, you're about to get bombarded with people.
Awesome.
Hopefully all good.
You're going to be overwhelmed, and we are too, and that's a good thing.
Well, you asked what we would say to the woman who was at home listening to this and quietly and never said anything. And I would just like to tell her that she's valuable and she's worth more than handfuls of rubies. And that with she was violated out of context. This is not what God wanted for her.
Does she feel shame? Does she feel dirty?
She does.
Does she feel responsible?
Exactly.
For
I was going to say that's not your fault. You were violated because we live in a fallen world. This is not God's plan for you. It's not what he wanted for you. And I'm sure that he weeps over you like he did over the children of Israel. And he wants for you to know that you're loved, that he loves you, and that he wants to reach in and heal you. And your only need is to remember that you were deeply wounded. Being raped is a core violation. It doesn't go away easy. And when God reaches in to heal you, you have to remember that just like if you were in a car accident and you had broken bones, it takes time to heal. Yeah. Don't get frustrated with your healing. Don't get down on yourself because you're not all that you want to be right now. Give yourself that time to heal. Go on retreats. Reach out to people. Take the medicine of the word and receive his healing and take the time to be healed.
We often at the March for Life will have women come up and say that they were raped and that they had an abortion. And they say, they look at us and they read our signs and they say, I didn't know. You could have been my daughter. And they want that healing. And we say, God forgives and God heals.
We have several speakers in Save the One, 3, who were all post-abortive from rape. And one of them, Ashley Sigress, she says that she feels that it honors the life of that child that she aborted by now speaking out to try to make a difference and save others.
Last comment.
Well, I just wanted to say that you may have hard days. You know, like Darlene said, you know, take your time and allow yourself to heal. But then the other side of that, I want to say, we're not saying that it's easy, but we're encouraging you to keep moving forward and keep trying. Claim your victories. Don't look at what you did wrong. Claim your victories, look at what you did right, and allow yourself to go stronger in that and up from that each day forward. Look at your child, love your child. That child loves you. You are a hero to that child, and that's all you need to focus on. But just because things don't go perfectly, it doesn't mean that it's not right and that you're not doing well. We all have struggles, and so just keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you again, ladies, for being with us, for your passion, your campaign, your crusade, if you will, to change a culture. It's not just the pro-choice culture you're dealing with. You're trying to inform and enlighten the pro-life community because they've believed the lie. They have been taught the lie.
That's right.
We're all part of this culture, and a culture is like a river, and it only flows in one direction. It carries all of us down with it, and there is evil that comes with the river, and you guys have gotten in there and decided to go upstream, and that's not easy to do, but we love and appreciate you for it. Stay in touch with us. To our listeners out there, for Pete's sake, call us, will you? These are programs that, you know, I care about all of them, but I really care about what you all have done.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, my goodness.
It's been our honor.
Blessings to you.
Well, we pray that you have been moved by these courageous women and the testimonies that you've heard over the past few days here on Family Talk. If you've missed the first two installments of this intense interview, make sure you go to drjamesdobson.org and hit our broadcast page tab. There you'll also find a link to the website for the ministry Save the One. Go to drjamesdobson.org and then click on today's broadcast tab. While you're online, be sure to head over to Facebook and search for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk there. Once you get to our page, be sure to hit the like button, and then you can follow all of our engaging content, including links to past broadcasts and also stories and articles that we know that you'll love. Get involved on our Facebook page by searching for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk when you go to Facebook.com. Finally, many of you may know that Family Talk is completely supported by our faithful listeners. We are in desperate need of your help as we continue to fight for the rights of the unborn, along with countless other attacks on our Christian faith. If this ministry has been a benefit to you and you're able to give back, we encourage you to go to drjamesdobson.org and make a donation securely online. If you prefer, you can call us toll-free at 877-732-6825, and one of our customer service representatives will be happy to walk you through the process of how to make a donation over the phone. Again, the toll-free number, 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for listening to today's broadcast. And be sure to join us again tomorrow to hear the story of a family doctor who has fought and advocated for the life of the unborn for over 30 years. You won't want to miss that interview coming up tomorrow on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Have a blessed day.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hey, right now, grab your cell phone, go to your app store, and click on the Dr. James Dobson Family Talk app. Download it right now, and you can start listening anywhere at any time. 24/7, 365.